All rise. Oyez, oyez, oyez. The Honorable, the Supreme Court of Texas. All persons having business before the Honorable, the Supreme Court of Texas, are admonished to draw near and give their attention, for the court is now sitting. God save the state of Texas and this honorable court.
Thank you. Be seated, please. Good morning. The court has three matters on its oral submission docket. In the order of their appearance, they are docket number 090396, Reed Road Municipal Utility District number 2 versus Speedy Stop Food Stores Limited from Harris County and the 14th Court of Appeals District. Justice Guzman is not sitting in that case. Docket number 090420, Esperanza Andrade in her official capacity as Secretary of State for the State of Texas versus NAACP of Austin, Nelson Linder, Sonia Santana, and David Van Oss from Travis County and the 3rd Court of Appeals District. And 090520, In re Coy Reese, which is an original proceeding. The court has allotted 20 minutes per side for each of these arguments, and we will take a brief recess between them. These proceedings are being recorded, and a link to the arguments should be posted on the court's website by the end of the day today. The court is now ready to hear argument in the first cause, 090396, Reed Road Municipal Utility District versus Speedy Stop Food Stores.
May it please the court, Mr. Dipple will present argument for the petitioner. Petitioner has reserved 5 minutes for rebuttal.
Two issues in this case. First, may any person, any agent who is not licensed, who doesn't meet the requirements of Rule 702 on expert testimony, be able to step forward and give testimony as to market value, something that's not within the common knowledge of a jury, on behalf of any legal entity? In other words, does Rule 701 allow anyone to testify on behalf of a legal entity, whether it's a corporation, a limited partnership, any legal entity? The second issue is, this is a condemnation case. In Texas, the rule has been well established before and after. You determine the value of the property being taken. If it's a whole taking, you don't have to worry about before and after. If it's a partial taking, you talk about the value of the part taken as severed land. If it's a limited easement, as in this case, then you determine the market value of the easement area before and after. And then, if you want to assess, you assess the market value of the remainder before and after. This was an issue that we raised in the trial court because the purported affidavit of Mr. LeBeuf on his face did not show that he complied with this fundamental standard. He did not value the area of the easement before and after.
Let's talk about whether or not he's qualified to to give an opinion on the market value of the company that is understood.
I don't think he's qualified. Here's why. As I said, market value is not within the common understanding of jurors. That's usually something that requires expert testimony. This case, in many decisions it's rendered on condemnation matters, has made that point. Value is something that requires the expertise of an expert.
Well, why would we let a homeowner testify about the value of his home and not a corporate executive, as it were?
A natural person?
Right.
Good question. In a proper case, you may have to address that. We're not urging you to overrule the so-called property owner's rule across the board in this proceeding. All we're talking about in this case is whether or not it could be extended to any legal entity.
Can I ask you, I mean, what is the premise underlying that rule? Doesn't it have to do with specialized knowledge?
Yes.
And wouldn't the same apply in this situation?
I think it would, Your Honor. No matter who the person is, right. We'll get to the licensing issues later.
Right.
But if he's going to testify to market value, whether it's a natural person or whether or not it's someone who is a hired expert,
right.
you ought to meet the requirements of Rule 702.
Mm-hmm.
That way you can test the reliability of the opinion
right.
in areas of market value. If you simply get up and say, I think it's worth X, or the compensation should be Y, without any possible connection to the underlying facts, without any support at all, that opinion would be unreliable.
Would LeBeth qualify as an expert?
No.
Why not?
First, he's not licensed. He's not a real estate broker. He's not an appraiser. In Texas, as well as many other states, the appraisal profession is regulated. This arose out of the savings and loan bust in the late 80s. And in order to give an opinion on value, an appraisal, one must be licensed. If you're not licensed, it's a criminal offense to give that opinion.
So you're saying that if Labatt, as part of a trial of valuation of a piece of realty, walked into a courtroom and gave his appraised value of a piece of property, that would be a crime? Not for Labatt to go out into the market, deal with consumers and give appraisals, but to walk into a courtroom as a designated expert. He couldn't give an opinion unless he's licensed?
That's correct. It doesn't have to be a courtroom. If he gives it.
If the statute applies that broadly, then why wouldn't natural persons who give an opinion about the value of their realty without being licensed also be problematic?
I think it would be problematic. That's not the case we have here. It has not been briefed in this case by the parties whether or not you should abrogate the property owner's rule across the board. The only issue in this case, two issues, before and after, whether or not you should extend that to any legal entity, an agent on behalf of any legal entity.
I understand, but in deciding your case, we have to be mindful of the reach of the rule that we're trying to establish here, or the parameters that we need to draw. And so if the rule about having to be licensed, as your position is, to give an opinion about the appraised value of realty applies broadly, then would it or would it not apply to individual natural owners, natural persons who own their realty?
It would.
So they're committing a crime
yes.
when they give an appraised value of their own property, even in a court of law.
Whether it's in court or out of court, they're prohibited from giving an appraisal unless they're licensed.
Do you agree or disagree that Mr. LeBeth's primary job was to appraise and purchase property?
No, he didn't. Appraise, no. Deal with property, yes. But that's not specific enough to this particular property in this particular market to qualify him as an expert. If he had expertise, if he was going to be testifying to market value, then follow the rules, have him designated as an expert, we wouldn't be here now. We might have some issue whether or not his failure to have a license might disqualify him. But in this case, we're talking about no expert was designated. And he was only identified as a person having knowledge of the property. That does not give us a hint that he's going to come forward and give testimony of the kind in question.
If you are a property owner, say a sort of vehicle, you own a vehicle and you purport to want to testify as to the before and after value of the car in an accident, say, is that expert or that testimony considered to be expert testimony that would have to be disclosed pursuant to a request for disclosure or designation?
We're not talking about market value, are we? We're talking about not of property.
Right, okay. Well, let's talk about a owner of property who wants to testify as to the value, an individual. Is it your view that that person would have to be designated as an expert to give that testimony?
There are too many cases by this court allowing testimony of individuals as to the damages they sustain, say, in an auto collision.
I understand that. But that's expert testimony, in a sense.
It might be. It depends upon the reliability of the testimony that's being given, Your Honor. I think the mere fact of ownership should not qualify one to give testimony with respect to valuation issues. But we don't have that case in front of this court. What we have.
So it doesn't matter whether the person was designated or not?
I think it must matter. If they're going to give opinion expert testimony, they should be designated. It's a question of no ambush. It's a question of revealing the facts rather than concealing them. And in this case, there's no question, no one was designated as an expert, period. So in your hypothetical, if the landowner came forward and said, I own that vehicle and I think my damages are $2,000 because I think that's the difference in value. That's a question, but that's not our case here.
So why do you think the corporate agent situation is different from the natural person situation?
Well, the property owner rule, if it has any viability at all, is based upon this person being intimately familiar with this property and being able to testify to market value. Mr. LeBeuf did not own the property. He was not the property owner. And you can't simply say that because the corporation is a property owner, that notions of fairness and equal treatment require that it be treated the same as a natural person.
But if that person has that specialized knowledge that a property owner would have, then wouldn't it apply? I mean, because if he fits the premise underlying the property owner rule, then why would we treat him any different?
I don't think you should. In many of the cases from out of state that we've analyzed in our brief, They allow someone on behalf of a corporation to testify only because he qualified as an expert. Now, if they qualify as an expert, it doesn't matter. If they're designated, it doesn't matter. But where you simply have the mere fact that a legal entity owns property qualifies an agent on its behalf to testify is a giant leap.
Who actually owns this property?
Speedy Stop Stores Limited.
And who is Mr. LeBeuf employed by?
He is employed as a vice president of the corporate general partner of the limited partnership.
So he's actually not employed by the owner of the property?
No. Property is owned by the limited partnership. And
How far afield are we supposed to go on this? I know it's not your issue, or you're not advocating for him, but it seems like there may be a problem if you have an owner and then someone employed by an entity separate and apart from the owner. I think you mentioned that in your brief at some point. He's not even the owner here.
It would entitle anyone on behalf of a governmental entity to testify, because there's no limit placed upon the idea that if it's a legal entity that owns property, then someone on behalf of it, without being qualified under Rule 702, is entitled to express an opinion on market value.
The rule and the exception seem to have split the courts of appeals, and there's a lot of discussion here on the bench about the validity of that rule. Why wouldn't, if we were to agree with you, at least in part, why wouldn't we send it back down for a new determination based on an expert that qualifies to give market value evidence?
Court.
Right.
To the trial court?
Sure.
The before and after rule precludes that, Your Honor. The before and after rule has been the law in Texas forever. This was intentionally set up so that Mr. LeBeuf says, my total compensation is $62,000. If given at trial, that testimony would not be any evidence consistent with the before and after rule. Again, that is something we raised in the trial court. It was sustained by the trial court. The trial court did not abuse its discretion in following well-established law.
I know you argue that, but I'm not sure I understood the brief on that point. Excuse me. He did say the difference in the fair market value of the property in question immediately before and immediately after condemnation of this easement was $62,000. Why isn't that?
That's comparing the entire property before and after, Your Honor. This is a limited easement in Zwar. In the Bulonic case, both instances, the court emphasized that when you're talking about a limited easement,
right,
you talk about the area of the easement before and after, that determines the landowner's compensation in it, irrespective. of anything else that happens.
Well,
and then the remainder before and after.
Well, isn't that, didn't he just collapse those?
No, he did not.
Why not?
Because the case law in Texas says that in a limited easement, you simply don't look at the property before and after. That's the federal rule.
If the easement area is reduced this much and the damage to the remainder is this much and you say the whole thing is $62,000, why isn't that competent evidence of that?
I'm repeating myself, but the before and after rule operates to protect the landowner. It also operates so that you have a division between the value of the easement being taken and any damages to the remainder. You can then test it. The guy comes in and says,
Test. I'm sorry.
If there's no division between the value of the easement and the damages to the remainder, it's no evidence. It's nothing more than a conclusion without support, and it's unreliable. I'm on my yellow. Any other questions before I sit down? I want 5 minutes in rebuttal. Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you, Counsel. The court is now ready to hear argument from the respondent.
May it please the court, Mr. Russell will present argument for the respondent.
May it please the court. Bill Russell on behalf of Speedy Stop Food Stores, and we respectfully submit that the Court of Appeals should be affirmed. In this case, there's three types of testimony by which value can be, or in any case, value can be established. One testimony is the property owner rule. Second method is Rule 701, the lay opinion rule. And the third method is the expert witness rule under Rule 702. It's long been recognized in Texas jurisprudence. Any one of those three methods may be used and does constitute evidence.
But this witness is neither one of those. He's not the property owner. He's not qualified to testify, and he didn't meet the other exception.
Your Honor, we would respectfully submit he is entitled to testify on behalf of the owner. The owner is Speedy Stop Food Stores, a partnership. Partners act through their partners, and the general partner is a corporation, C.L. Thomas Inc. Corporations act through their officers.
So you think it makes no difference whether the testifying agent is acting or speaking on behalf of a partnership or a corporation?
Your Honor, that's correct. Your Honor, we believe that the case of an entity should have, there's no difference in terms of the reason for the rule between an entity and a natural person, and any one of the entities would be a limited liability company. The property owner rule has served Texas jurisprudence well for well over 100 years.
But here you're talking about extending that rule to non-owners, because the property is owned by, as you say, the limited partnership, and Mr. LeBeuf doesn't own the property, and neither does the general partner, C.L. Thomas, that employs him. And so I'm kind of following up on Justice Johnson's question. Why should the exception be extended to non-owners?
Well, Your Honor, of course, an entity cannot testify except through its officers and its owners and its representatives. And as this court even last term announced in the State versus Central Expressway case, in which a corporation owners, the two principals were recognized to testify. A corporation can only testify through the individuals that it designates and it represents.
Let's assume that's true. Depending on the circumstance, there could be dozens of agents of an entity, either a partnership or a corporation. And without designating one as the person who's going to testify as to value, where does that leave the other side? Aren't you required to designate, okay, well, we do have all these agents, and some of them have to have knowledge of the values and some don't, but we're gonna pick this guy because he really is, and so you need to know in the designation that this is the expert who's going to testify as to values.
Well, Your Honor, two answers to that. Number one, neither lay witness nor owner is an expert under 702 and is required to be designated.
So it could be anybody.
So they, no, sir. The owner rule itself, in going back in Texas jurisprudence, the owner rule speaks of the person. The reason for the rule is because they have to show they have familiarity with the property. It's not just anybody, a owner in North Carolina that's never seen the property, never been to a property, wouldn't qualify even as a natural person because they would not have shown the familiarity. The reason for the rule is that the person that owns the property is presumed to know its value better than anyone else, and sometimes better than what an expert would know.
So how much is this property worth, as Mr. LeBeuf say?
Your Honor, the value of the taking was $62,000.
No, my question was, how much did Mr. LeBeuf say the property's worth, if he's presumed to know its value?
Your Honor, there was no testimony in terms of what its actual value was.
Okay, so he didn't give any, he didn't give an opinion as to how much it's worth.
Your Honor, he did not.
I understand.
Yes, sir. That is correct. His opinion was strictly an opinion which was the difference between the fair market value of the property immediately before the taking of the easement and the fair market value immediately after the taking of the easement.
Well, if he's presumed to know the value of the property, do we then have to assume that even when he doesn't say it, all he somehow calculates this instead of just pulling it out of the air? It seems like that's a little conclusory, isn't it?
Well, Your Honor, we would submit that that it would be some evidence, more than a scintilla of evidence, to overcome a no evidence summary judgment.
But even with expert witnesses, don't we say conclusory evidence is no evidence?
Your Honor, with regard to expert witnesses, we do.
So we're going to let someone who's not been, who's not an expert, not qualified, give them more leeway to be conclusory? Is that where we're headed with this?
The standard in Texas has been that the owner, in giving their value, has not been required to go through the technical terms that an expert would, because an expert giving expert opinion generally is someone that doesn't have the personal familiarity as does an owner with their own property.
Well, even the property owner rule doesn't guarantee personal familiarity. I mean, what? Let's say that my grandfather owns a home in Michigan and passes away, and I get the property through his will. And the next day or next month, there's a question about the value of that home. I've never been there. I have no idea what its value is, but you're saying I could testify because I'm the property owner.
Well, we respectfully submit that under the property owner rule, it does require showing a familiarity with the property, but that is all it requires showing is familiarity.
What does familiarity mean?
Your Honor, I would submit that means that you basically understand where the property is, what it is, the impact in this instance of the condemnation.
Let me put this to you and see how you answer it. It's time to scrap the property owner rule and require expert testimony, whether you're a natural person that owns a home or a corporation. That you've got to designate an expert who meets the qualifications of 702. What is wrong with the court adopting that?
Your Honor, several things. For one thing, in a condemnation case, or a property tax case, for example, hundreds of thousands of property tax owners each year protest their property taxes. And sometimes the amount in controversy is not that great. Maybe it's just a little easement, maybe it's just a minor thing, but to have to spend the money to go hire appraisers, you don't get attorney's fees in cases like this, you don't recover your litigation costs as a practical matter, it puts the citizens in a position where they have little recourse at all in a number of situations. But secondarily, we would respectfully submit that the lay opinion rule is a very good rule and one that is also time-tested. And the lay opinion rule function and purpose was largely because, as my colleague said, jurors may not have the ability to understand that, but that lay person who maybe doesn't have the expertise, but that lay person who knows the value of surrounding properties and knows what in their his or her neighborhood the properties have been selling for and what the value is, that person can help the jury. Certainly they're subject to cross-examination. Certainly they're subject to the factual insufficiency rule. But in terms of there being more than a scintilla of evidence, we respectfully submit that for the people of Texas, that the ability to have lay testimony is, we shouldn't in every instance have to go out and hire an appraiser.
But why should the rule be different than 701?
Your Honor, I recognize that an argument can be made that really combine the two and basically impose.
But they can't really be combined because 701 does have some standards to it.
Yes, sir. I understand.
And the trial court might look at a witness who was trying to testify under the property owner rule and say, you just don't meet 701.
Aren't you basically saying that 701 and the property owner rule are basically the same because of the premise underlying it?
Your Honor, they're very similar.
Yeah.
They're very similar. In reading the cases, a lot of times...
Are they the same or not? No,
Your Honor, I would say they're slightly different. The property owner rule gives less of a requirement. There's less of a requirement with regard to the property owner
rule. So coming back to the Chief Justice's question, why doesn't 701 afford all of the protection that's necessary for the little cases and the circumstances that you raise?
Your Honor, I suspect this is obviously a matter of public policy for the court. My argument would be is that the citizens of Texas over the years have taken great pride in their being able to, as to their property, to be able to testify about it, to speak to it.
Do you agree with the petitioner that Mr. LaBeouf could not have testified as an expert?
I do not. He wasn't offered as an expert, not intended to be an expert.
You agree that he could not testify? He couldn't offer himself because he's not licensed?
Oh, Your Honor, not for that reason. Under that rule, it's noteworthy, as the court has pointed out, as Justice Wainwright has pointed out, that would mean that every time not only a property owner contested a property tax, they would commit a criminal act, but I would point out that our appraisal districts that take care of the property tax of our state are not licensed under that chapter either. They're licensed under Chapter 1150, which is a separate act. So it would criminalize our appraisal districts to go out and appraise property as well. The criminality of that says under this chapter, and this chapter is 1103. And the appraisal districts, the appraisers are licensed under 1150.
What would it cost? Do you have an idea? What if we wanted to hire an expert and have him go out and appraise it and then testify in court, what would the cost of that be?
You know, the last appraisal I hired for a condemnation case in Austin was $15,000. It varies depending on how good of an appraiser you get. You can certainly get appraisers for much less than that. I'm assuming you could get an appraisal for $2,000.
Tell me that's a commercial property.
Oh, yes, Your Honor.
Okay, thank
yes,
you.
Your Honor, it is.
Let me probe just a little on how far down the chain we can go and still assuming that this is a representative of Speedy Stop. A Speedy Stop is a limited partnership, and your position is its general partner, the officer of its general partner, is considered an owner for purposes of this testimony. Correct?
Yes, sir.
All right. How about the limited partners? Could one of the limited partners then come in and testify not on behalf of the limited partner itself, assuming it's a corporation, but on behalf of Speedy Stop?
We don't think that any person, just because they happen to be an employee or happen to be a limited partner, necessarily allows them to qualify on the owner property rule. But the owner of the property, in this instance, the limited partnership, which acts through its general partner, we believe should have the right to designate their representative, which in this instance, Carlton LaBeouf was the person who, since 1982, has been involved with all of these
properties. So some limited partner agents might be able to testify, but not others? I'm confused on what your answer is.
Your Honor, I haven't completely thought through the limited partnership portion of it. I would envision a possible situation because of the limited partner's role, perhaps in the general partnership, but I don't think necessarily the mere fact there are limited.
But could the Speedy Stop be here saying we designated that limited partner? Where do we stop is the difficulty I'm trying to get to here. For example, let's not even go to the limited partner. The general partner has a property manager who's not an officer. Could Speedy Stop then have that property manager of the general partner file an affidavit as Mr. LaBeouf has?
Your Honor, I understand the court's looking in terms of writing a rule, how broad to reach. And I would think...
Well, if we assume it's the property owner rule, doesn't that kind of restrict it to certain people, officers of the property owner?
I don't know that, Your Honor, it should be within a designated certain class.
Well, then how will we know who can testify under the owner's rule for an entity?
Your Honor, a rule or a methodology, perhaps, is the fact that within that entity that which acts through its individuals, the individual who has the authority and jurisdiction and the responsibility over that particular property should be the one. To draw a strong, wide comparison, small families, limited partnership, mother and dad, general partners, children are limited partners, but one of the children is involved in that particular property, then it would make sense for that child to be the one to be designated to testify.
Well, How about Walmart? Who could testify on Walmart's property?
With regard to Walmart Corporation, certainly we're not suggesting that every employee, officer, or director of Walmart, but if they show and designate, as did Speedy Stop here, we have this individual who's in charge of the management of this real estate, who's in charge of this particular property, then that particular individual would be the person who could speak for that corporation, as a corporation does speak through its
people.
But
would they have to be an employee of Walmart?
Your Honor, under the owner property rule, I think they would need to be an officer, director, or an employee, and if they were going
of Walmart.
If they were going to be outside of the ownership structure, if you will, Walmart being a one corporation, being a subchapter C corporation, if they were outside of the structure, then they would need to fall back on the Rule 701 in order for someone to testify. On the other hand, like with the case at bar with Speedy Stop, its general partner is the corporation, and so therefore Carlton LaBeouf was acting on behalf of the partnership through the general partner.
You said, counsel, that for Justice Johnson's hypothetical involving Walmart, that the person with familiarity would have to be within the ownership structure of Walmart. Officers and directors aren't owners. Shareholders are.
Your Honor is correct, and I said something I didn't mean to say. When I meant in my opinion, that it'd be a director, officer, or an employee. The mere fact someone might be a shareholder of Walmart, which could be any one of us in this room, would not justify there to be designated. But if it's the person that is representing, is a part of, that's employed by Walmart, is part of that corporation, then they certainly should be able to.
Let me be sure I understand. You don't say a non-owner could testify under 701, do you?
Yes, sir. A non-owner, 701, a non-owner can testify under 701.
It's the value of property.
Absolutely, yes, sir.
So you just think anybody in any kind of a case, a person who does not qualify as an expert and is not the owner, can testify as to value?
Your Honor, if they meet the qualifications of Rule 701, which is pretty well outlined very well in the case law and in McCormick, then McCormick and Ray, and then Ray, and in Justice Green opinion and the en banc opinion, the San Antonio court, and that we've cited Barraza versus Kaliba. Those requirements are in place, and the lay witness rule definitely applies to them.
If we disagree with you and say that there has to be an expert that qualifies under 702 or under a more exacting standard, and LeBeuf doesn't meet that standard, what do we do? I mean, do you lose completely, or is there a, do we have to send you back down to the trial court to give you the chance to designate an expert, or what do we do?
Well, Your Honor, we would respectfully submit that if this court does change the law in some regard, as the court did in Porras versus Craig, in the interest of justice, it be remanded, that we not be hit with a no evidence summary judgment.
Would you remand even if the new expert gives exactly the same evidence as LeBeuf did, and we consider that evidence to be no evidence of value for the reasons that your opponent has argued this morning?
Your Honor, our difficulty on the remand is because the amount of controversy, all of a sudden the cost factor becomes effect in terms of what do we do. But in terms of the valuation, I would say that our testimony has been very consistent with this honorable court's in Westgate versus State, 1992 decision, 843 Southwest 2nd, 448, and also very consistent with the Cahill's decision cited that it's difficulty sometimes, as this court has said, to value severed land when maybe it's a unique tract or a particular tract, or it has unusual features, and therefore a better's test is to say, what's the difference between the whole property immediately before versus the property immediately after?
Any further questions? Thank you, Counsel.
Thank you.
Let me put aside any concerns the court may have about property tax valuation. A landowner is not prohibited from getting before the appraisal review board and testifying. The legislature has expressly permitted that. That's a policy decision by the legislature. When you get into court, it may be a different matter. But before the appraisal review board in the protest protocol, anyone can go up there and testify to their property. And there's really no limitation on corporations or others.
But
the legislature has expressly provided
that. But if it advances to the trial court stage, the property owner might have to go out and hire an expert?
Yes.
And could not testify themselves?
Now, I haven't explored that fully. I'm simply trying to put it. The property tax code provides for an initial administrative proceeding and a protest.
The appraisal.
If you want to go to court, if it has to do with market value, I think you're required to get an expert because it is not within the common understanding of jurors.
If being licensed as an appraiser is not required to be qualified as an expert to give an opinion about property value, is LeBeuf qualified to give an opinion on the damages in this case?
No.
I went back and was looking at his affidavit. He says, since 1982, I've been involved in the sale of all convenience stores of the company. So he's been involved in the purchase of this piece of property for Speedy Stores, I imagine, or Speedy Stop, right?
I would assume so.
He says since 2000, he was involved in the purchase or sale of more than 200 tracts of commercial real estate in South Texas, including Harris County. This property was in Harris County, correct?
Correct.
And then he'd been involved with negotiating and attempting to purchase or sell no less than 500 tracts, including deals that went through and deals that didn't. He speaks frequently with real estate brokers, he attends workshops and seminars to stay informed, and he's aware of current market values. What about his background precludes him from being qualified as an expert if licensing is not required?
Let's assume he was an expert, and let's lay aside my argument on licensing. Forget about that. Didn't impress the Court of Appeals, and it doesn't appear to impress this court. But
the breadth of that argument is what got our attention,
yeah,
in particular. But let's put that to the side. assuming licensing isn't required, is LeBeuf qualified as an expert?
I'm assuming he would if he meets Rule 702, but then he's a testifying expert, and we're not playing ambush anymore. We asked them, designate your testifying experts.
Granted, he wasn't designated as an expert under 702. You said, assuming he's an expert. My question is, given what I've just told you, would he be qualified as an expert to give an opinion about the damages in this case?
Without talking about the substance of his testimony, yes, I would say so. All right. Now, getting further, because this gets into Justice Heck's argument and your question, Your Honor, concerning whether or not it should be remanded or simply the trial court affirmed. The before and after rule is a rule of substance. It is a standard. It has been the law in Texas forever. There is no change in that rule suggested by this case. While the property owner rule may or may not be extended, may or may not survive this case, while that might justify, as in the Bulanic case, sending it back to the trial court because you've overruled something, here what you're doing is not changing the before and after rule. That's a rule of substance. They went all in on two issues, that the property owner rule should be extended, and after rule doesn't really mean anything. Having gone all in, they've lost that bet, and we're not to suffer for it. This case has been going on for 5 years. There is a cost associated to government in trying to run to ground what it's going to be confronted with at the time of trial. There was no adequate designation of this person to give this testimony as he did in his affidavit. And the trial court could not have abused his discretion on any of the grounds we asserted in striking that evidence.
What about Ambrose's testimony in the condemnation hearing?
That wasn't even reached by the Court of Appeals. It's adequately answered in the dissent. I would say this, no one designated experts. If you're going to have that testimony admitted, it's going to have to be an expert testimony that's admitted. We objected on the grounds, it was hearsay. No one had designated him. If you're going to designate him, do so. There's no prohibition on the landowner having designated that expert.
So you're saying Ambrose was not designated as an expert in the trial court. In the condemnation hearing, was he proffered as an expert?
Yes. And of course, an appeal from that is de novo, which means it didn't happen.
Are there any further questions?
Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you, counsel. The cause is submitted, and the court will take a brief recess.